Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, God is Good. I am your host, Sybil Peoples, and I have Elder Melvin G. Peoples Jr. here with me tonight.
Everyone say praise the Lord, and I am Sister Sybil's husband. Praise God, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share in this ministry opportunity. As always, I always quote what the scripture says in this matter. It is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been consumed, because his compassions fail not, and they are renewed each morning. And best of all, it's great is his faithfulness.
Seems to be a little tongue twister in the air.
Amen.
Well, bless the Lord. I want to tell my audience and all my listeners that this show is being sponsored by Kingdom Builders International. And I want to encourage everyone, Kingdom Builders International is good ground. You can sow into what God is doing. Send your donations to Kingdom Builders International. That address is 16250 Northland Drive, Southfield, Michigan, zip code 48375, suite 369. Or if you choose, you can send, go to the internet, send donations through kingdombuildersplaza.com. And remember, all donations are tax deductible. You can also join Kingdom Builders International for one of their awesome services, and that address is 16250 Northland Drive, Southfield, Michigan, 48375, Suite 369. Services begin at 11 a.m. Prophetess Teresa Docks, Pastor, or join Kingdom Builders on Wednesdays at 6:30 for Jesus Encounter, 6:30 p.m. You can call in for prayer or send your prayer request. The prayer line is open Monday through Friday at 5 a.m. Central, 6 a.m. Eastern. That number is 218-895-0280. The code is prayer, or tap in 772-937. Now, we are excited to announce Kingdom Builders Development Institute Ministry classes. If you believe that God is calling you to ministry and do not know what to do next, give us a call and watch God work. Acts 6 and 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Get training, get equipped to manifest. And now for more information, call 313-583-9739. You can also log in to blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. Click on the following and you receive updates on speakers and events. We are excited to announce Project U. We are focused on developing character, excellence, and integrity in our youth, along with our self-enrichment programs for families that are in need of mental, emotional, and spiritual help or support. If you desire additional information, please call the church office. And again, that number is 313-583-9739. What a blessing. You must take the opportunity to look into and see all the great things that Kingdom Builders is doing, and don't miss the opportunity to be a part of it, and may God bless you for doing so. Well, Elder, I'm excited once again to be here, to be able to share what God is saying, what he has on his servant's heart, and it's just going to be awesome, I believe. The topic tonight, I'll give you the title and then I'll give you the scripture. The topic is Blessed Beyond Expression.
Amen.
And that is taken from Mark 7, verse 37. So we can just dive in. We don't have to have any more delays or be detained by anything that you want to give me, what you have on either the Mark 37 or in whatever direction you want to go into.
Well, you know, just listening to you give the title or the topic, Blessed Beyond Expression.
Yes.
Praise God. It also implies blessed above measure.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord, because the blessings of the Lord are immeasurable.
Yes.
Amen. And as we walk with Christ, and many of us have walked with him for years, and some out there in the radio land have just begun the journey, they're going to find out that as they walk with him, that it's almost impossible to express in human terms the greatness of God and his faithfulness and his love and his care for us, even in times when we are challenged and we are struggling and we're going through hardships. He has a way of letting us know that he has loved us and he's going to love us until the very end.
Amen. Amen. I want to read the scripture as we begin this discussion. Mark 7 and 37. And it starts with, "And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He have done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Now, this was a scenario where the disciple were witnessing the works that Jesus was doing, and they used the description, they were astonished beyond measure, and that really concurs with what you were saying about trying to put to language the blessedness that we have in Christ.
And, you know, I'll piggyback on that last phrase you used, language. You know, the blessings of God are so awesome, and I coined the word some time ago. I call it awesome-amazing. It's like part awesome and amazing at the same time. And we don't, as human beings, in our natural self, we don't have the ability to express the awesomeness and the amazingness of an omnipotent God. Praise the Lord. And that's why many times when we pray, even in the spirit, we are groaning and we are making utterances, you know, which we can't, we don't always comprehend. But our spirit, praise the Lord, designed by God, it gives us the ability to translate the very longings of our soul and who we are and translate it into language that is something that God can appreciate. Praise the Lord. And we don't always understand it, but it's amazing that the relationship we have with God is beyond our human ability to translate that into human terminology.
That is good. It actually is so perfect that you would say that, because the next thing that I was going to bring up was the different cases throughout the scripture where man in our natural ability coming in contact with God, it's something beyond, it's so supernatural, it's beyond this world. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was in awe. Even as hardened as his heart was, he was in awe once he had that encounter with this God. The story of Daniel on the beach, who fell to his knees and referenced that he couldn't speak, and Moses on the mountain when the Lord said, "Take your sandals off, that you are walking on holy ground." We have these cases, biblical scenarios, and it is beyond natural. It's beyond supernatural, and we often find ourselves in a perplexity whether the expression is language or the expression is dance or praises, no matter what form or type of a communication or what we try to deliver through expression, we fall short. We actually at times fail.
You know, ever since the fall of our great granddaddy to the 100th power, Adam failed in the garden, mankind has, of course, been alienated from God. And the pure and the unfiltered access to God and having a relationship with God, of course, we now have it since the Holy Ghost dispensation of the early church. We have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. But it is impossible for us in our natural humanity to even have a comprehensible dialogue with the Lord, because we have nothing to frame the reference upon. And so thank God for giving us the Holy Spirit that we could communicate with him, praise the Lord, and have intimacy with him that not only fulfills us, but it satisfies the Father and makes him well pleased to have that communication with us.
Yes, yes. We touched on that last week on our perspective in prayer and approaching God, and he is very pleased with us and our willingness to turn and give him honor by acknowledging him through our expression or our prayer. I so appreciate this title, Blessed Beyond Expression, and I really want to take it apart tonight. I want to talk a little bit about what the definition of blessed is, how we can dig and go further beyond what most people consider or define being blessed as. I want to talk a little bit about beyond, and then last, the expression. Just those three words just hold so much in our born-again experience.
And, you know, you talk about measurement and height and depth. We have nothing that we can actually use as a marker to comprehend the depth and the height of what God is to us spiritually and, of course, in love. And that's why the apostle asked the question, what is it? Mm-hmm. What is the height? What is the depth? Who can comprehend it? Mm-hmm. No one can, because it was the love of God that allows us to have this relationship, which we have, and thank God for Jesus Christ becoming that perfect sacrifice to satisfy the anger of God for the fall in humanity. But God had already had that thing prepared before the foundation of the world, and that's what, you know, I believe that the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, when he made the statement in the Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Praise the Lord. And And he's saying something that even he himself has no ability to comprehend. And we consider Paul a great spokesman and a man of great depth, but he's simplifying it to the extent that we can embrace at least the concept of how really favored we are of God. And I think that as believers in Christ, it's very important, and this is so very important because so many have been taught to the contrary. It's very important that we understand that blessedness is a status with God.
Amen.
So often we make blessedness a material thing, mm-hmm. or it's episodic. It is a status that we as believers maintain. No matter how poor I get, mm-hmm. I'm blessed. No matter how rich I have and how much I accumulate, mm-hmm. I'm blessed. It is a status that God gives us, and it's irrevocable.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And that's important because in so many places in the body of Christ, we have secularized in terminology the blessings of God. The blessings of God, yes, it's a blessing to have a car, a nice car. It's a blessing to have money. It's a blessing to have wealth. It's a blessing to have health. But if you have none of those things, you still have a status of blessedness in Christ. Because there are Christians who probably have far more spiritual perseverance than we do here in America who have nothing. You can go to various parts of the world and they have nothing in the way of the materialism in which we have. You know, and can we say that they're not blessed because they don't have? Absolutely not. So it's important for believers because the enemy will wreak havoc on our psychosis if we don't understand that we are blessed no matter what. Praise the Lord. And Job is a classic example of a man that was blessed of God, but God allowed him to, if I can use this expression, allowed him to catch hell in the process of his journey.
So if I could summarize that, you're saying that blessings are so much, they're so far beyond getting your prayer answered, but the status is that you actually have the right to pray.
Amen. I mean, it's something that is irrevocable.
Yeah.
Sometimes we piggyback on, we see circumstances in the body of Christ. We see a brother or sister who's fallen on a tough situation. Maybe they fall into a predicament of sin. And we're very, very quick to judge them and decide that they are cursed. Mm-hmm. Whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. Mm-hmm. Praise God. That's a part of the blessed status. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
So that fits in that category of we are in that vein, or I know you say status, so I was looking for a better word.
Okay.
The change of the mindset is to have a mindset that it's compared to your father.
Yes.
Let's say your natural father. Maybe your natural father is one of the Waltons.
Amen.
So now you, because of your birthright, you have inherited a name and generational wealth, as they call it.
Amen.
You have, by no effort of your own, you have entered into a status in this life. And now that cannot be changed nor revoked. So having a born-again blessing, being able to be called a child of God, causes you to be embraced, or what's the word I'm looking for? You inherit,
yes,
this blessed position, just,
amen,
as if your father or family was royalty or kingship. You would be an inheritor of that, and that positioning would be life-changing. That positioning would make the difference from just every other Tom, Dick, and Harry. And having that mindset, having the revelation that no matter how I feel or no matter what my life details are, I am blessed. And I am blessed because Jesus is my Lord.
Amen. And you know what? The enemy's biggest, greatest challenge, his greatest reward is to dupe us out of the knowledge of who we are.
I know that's a fight.
You see, that's his goal.
Mm-hmm.
His goal, if he's going to be able to take advantage of us, he has to challenge us regarding who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. What our identity is. You see.
Amen.
The enemy said it himself. And the statement was, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And that's the question to every child of God today. The enemy wants to know, do you know who you are by your spiritual birthright? Because if you know who you are, he can't deceive you as the reality of your natural, or should I say spiritual, status.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We have to always know who we are. Unfortunately, we are exposed in the Christian community to so many varying doctrines,
mm-hmm.
even to the degree that many times when believers fall off or they fall into predicaments of sin, it comes across the pulpit that they have been disowned spiritually. They have been made to psychologically and spiritually believe that they are out there wandering in the wilderness, the spiritual wilderness, and God don't love them anymore. That's why the scripture says that God is love, because love is the most powerful thing in the universe. Love is not going to turn its back. We know that from the simple vows of marriage. The Lord uses the example of marriage as his relationship to the believers. We stand before God and men in a marital ceremony, do you promise?
Mm-hmm.
And it is till death do us part. Do you promise to be faithful? And that's what God is to us. That's not a license to sin. God forbid that we should sin that grace might abound. But it lets us know who we are. We must always know who we are in Christ.
Yeah, that's really, really big, and I see so much, so many times the enemy studies us, so each individual may not have an identical attack or situation, but it seems to be the same thing.
Yes.
In prayer, sometimes yes. The fiery darts in your thoughts, you can approach to pray, you can I know especially I can sit and take my mind to make a request unto God, maybe concerning a financial matter.
Yes.
And lo and behold, just as sure as the enemy and what he does, thoughts will start coming up. Well, what about this? Or what about this event? Or are you really going to stand in faith concerning this, and always bringing up partial pictures,
yes.
and half truth,
yes.
and being like a politician,
yes. Amen.
Trying to deceive and pervert. But yes, it all comes in a bigger picture concerning knowing who we are and embracing who we are. That part of embracing, as you mentioned, being able to weather a storm or be in a situation where it's a season of chastening,
yes.
and you still maintain your praise or you still maintain your confession, as the scriptures say about Job. It was a lot said, but that was one thing that God bragged on concerning Job. He retained his integrity.
Yes.
And he did not speak anything out of order with God. So, yes, that knowing who you are, the revelation, the blessed position. I want to move on to expression.
Yes.
Expression. And as we touched on, sometimes we just come short.
Yes.
You almost feel if I could use this description, you have experiences where it's just beyond this world. You have a visitation of the Holy Spirit, and it is times overwhelming. I remember as a young saint, and I would see people in church, and I would see whether they were in the midst of, some would call it, to get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Or however you want to label it, and they seem to lose control.
Yeah.
Lose this flesh. I've seen wigs fly off. I especially like the movie The Blues Brothers. I know it wasn't realistic, but it almost seems as though people have supernatural abilities and dance and praise and jerks and runs and hollers. It seems like an encounter. You can experience an encounter with God that it takes you so beyond your human ability to give expression to.
Yes. And that's the thing that we have to always realize as believers in Christ, that it is a supernatural experience to have intimacy with God.
Yeah.
And that becomes our spiritual norm. Praise the Lord. We should desire that.
Mm-hmm.
We should desire that type of intimacy where we have relationships and experiences that we can actually chart.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because we're not dealing with man.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. We're dealing with the Creator and the all omnipotent power of the universe, who has chose to make home inside of us by indwelling in us as the Holy Spirit. If we even meditate upon that concept just for on occasion, you would realize how awesome it is.
Yes.
That the God of the universe has chosen to dwell inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me unique beyond circumstance. You see, as a believer, we must always realize that we are empowered.
Mm-hmm.
We are special. We are unique people because the Creator dwells in us. It's not based upon how much wealth we have, praise the Lord. It's not based upon ethnicity. It's not based upon education. It is based upon our compassion, and rather his compassion for us, and our willingness to have him in intimacy in our lives, praise the Lord. And there's nothing that transcends that in this universe, praise the Lord. Because when God comes and dwells with you, you have the power of all dwelling inside of you. And now sometimes we don't esteem it that way.
Yeah.
But I'm special because he chooses to live inside of me. Not because of me or anything that I've done, no more than having faith and believing on him, as the scriptures have said, the Bible says, then out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water. That spake he concerning the Holy Ghost, which at that time was not yet given. Praise the Lord. And he was given the promise. And we have accomplished that. But it is all about God, because God comes to us. He appeals to us. He lets us know that he's real. And then he comes in and he dwells with us.
And it's so amazing. It's so, so amazing. Out of countless millions or billions of believers that are present or have lived before us, it how we experience God can be very different.
Yes.
It can be very different, where you might have an individual who was in a spiritual seek, and in that seek have tried all different other pathways.
Yes.
I won't say religion, but different pathways looking for God, is the song would say, in all the wrong places.
Yes.
Yet they come and find a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and they have this extraordinarily supernatural experience. And then you have believers who confess that Jesus is Lord, but they seem to maintain God in the outer court.
Amen.
So it varies, and I invite all my listeners that as we speak about an intimate, exciting, a supernatural, beyond your imagination or more than any human expression can really describe, this intimate relationship, I invite you all to put it, a request in for a higher leveling, God, a relationship. It always interests me. I have my personal experience, but I've heard of people who went into prayer and lost sense of time and date.
Yes.
Even I've heard people's testimonies where they go in for prayer and lose days.
Yes.
Amazing. I haven't experienced that, but that truly intrigues me that you can have encounters with God that'll keep you suspended and you won't know whether it's been 5 minutes or 50 minutes. That is amazing. Or just the fact that people have testimonies of doing drugs.
Yes.
And being able to have different experiences while on drugs. And I personally haven't had the nerve to try any drugs. But the drugs, in comparison, from what I hear, in comparison to a supernatural encounter, a supernatural visitation where God can take you to into the heavenlies. I believe Paul mentioned, he said he saw a young man, he wasn't sure.
He said, I once knew a man. Mm-hmm. And he talked about it. He was talking about his own personal testimony.
Oh, okay.
You know, how such a one was caught up into the third heaven.
Yes, Paul.
And he saw things that he could not utter.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. If he couldn't put into human comprehension.
Yes.
And that is the experience of the Holy Spirit in man. It is man being brought to the place where God in his infinite wisdom originally intended for him to be.
Okay.
Adam, of course, failed. And God had a plan before the foundation of the earth or before Adam had fallen to bring mankind back through it to him, mm-hmm. but he had to do it through a humanity that was not tainted.
Yeah.
So what God did was he robed himself in humanity, and he comes down through those 42 generations, and he births himself to a woman who had not had sexual intimacy, Mary, a virgin. Therefore, being the Father, praise the Lord, he was able to bring that experience and bring his humanity back unto him. But this was nothing. This fall of Adam was nothing that surprised God. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. He had already made the remedy for the fall before he had formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he had become a living soul. So God is not surprised. He's ahead of us in everything. And we can thank God for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is sometimes a prophet for the future. It speaks to us concerning things to come. It makes us understandable of things that are taking place. It gives us the ability to discern, praise the Lord. And it's God living in us. And I think that in some ways we have normalized that. Amen. Even in Christian dogma, even in Christian experience, we have normalized the Holy Spirit in being in us. You know, you get saved and you're saved for years and it's like, oh, I got the Holy Spirit. But do we honestly at times think about how profound that is?
And it is so profound, as you mentioned, just to try to wrap your mind around the very possessor of heaven and earth who positioned all the stars and the planets and just created man. I mean, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The things that all work together in unison, our resilience, all that is about us, that even as smart as we are, we're yet still uncovering. I heard recently they found a new organ. Mm. All of the cadavers that got cut open and all the surgeries, and they just recently counted up something else in us. It is beyond our ability to know even the workings of the universe, how everything, the system is so balanced. It is amazing that the creator of all of this has chosen us individually.
Yes.
And chooses to be present with us.
Yes.
Every measure of time while we are in existence, as you said, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And in this title in this expression, blessed beyond expression. And I mentioned how we sometimes hit a brick wall, or we come up handicapped with bridging this gap between our humanity and this supernatural that we are yet a part of. It was really pressed upon me in my spirit concerning this inability, the me being void of expression to build that bridge.
Yes.
It was pressed upon me to focus in on the part that I could offer, as Cain and Abel brought an offering unto the Lord.
Yes.
When we praise God, that is a form of bringing an offering.
Yes.
So understanding that when I come up short in my humanity to connect with the supernatural, almighty, spiritual God, he says, bring to me what you have.
Yes.
He says to me that my offering is, in its value, is my sincerity.
Amen. And you know, that's a spiritual truth that I think that is not emphasized or highlighted as much in this day of materialism.
Sure.
You know, we unfortunately, it happens many times in the body of Christ where people who are unable to make financial sacrifices are vilified.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. They don't have money, and sometimes even from the pulpit, ministers are getting up saying, well, you don't have money because.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on and on and so on. So they bring this measure of guilt. But what God wants is a sincere offering. He wants a contrite heart. He wants people to approach him in sincerity.
Yeah.
Because God has ordained our seasons. There are times and seasons when perfectly good people, they don't have anything material.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. But because, it's because God has a purpose and a plan for us as believers that we might have a spiritual journey in him. Our responsibility as believers in Christ and having the investment of the Holy Ghost in us is that we might be able to be witnesses to this dying world.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And we, many times, to be an effective witness, you have to be able to identify with people in a parallel way.
Yes.
You have to be able to say, you know, brother or sister, I've been there. I've had this experience. And many times in my effort to minister the gospel to people in a personal way, I'm not talking about the pulpit, I'm talking about in personal relationships, I connect through sharing the experiences that I have had in my past life to that person who I know is having those similar experiences.
And you know what's really important as you speak on that? Guilt.
Yes.
As you mentioned, the Lord and his relationship to a contrite heart.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be oh so very careful.
Yes.
And I pose this one question. I don't think guilt caused me to do right.
Amen.
It's amazing that I bought into the idea that my guilt was helping me keep on the straight path.
Yes.
But it doesn't. There is no real power for change through feeling guilty.
Guilt make you hide. Adam, where are you? I knew I was naked, so I hid myself.
Okay.
When the Lord, Adam, where are you? I knew I was naked. Who told you you were naked, Adam?
That's a product of sin.
His consciousness told him that. There's nothing about guilt that produces the righteousness of God. It makes us hide. And that's why the Lord gave us a gospel that gives people the ability to be cleared of their past. And that's why when we preach, we tell people to come unto Jesus as you are. We have to introduce them to the Savior because Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world. And many times, even we as believers, we take our testimony to try to condemn the world into righteousness. Condemnation breeds running and hiding. Adam, where are you?
And condemnation breeds condemnation.
Yes, it does.
So when we have a position or we have a mindset, we approach people condemned and pursue to condemn, which is reproducing what we already are in, which is an error.
Yeah.
Because the thing that God intended from the beginning was not by power nor by might, but by his spirit. And operating in the Holy Spirit or operating in and that where Romans says that salvation, the power of salvation is in the gospel.
Yes.
So we operate in what God has set up to win the lost or to minister to the lost. We do it God's way.
Yes.
But anything under that is counterfeit. It's
yes.
less than ideal. God can use, and he throws out nothing as he is a God that does not waste. So even when we fail or we mess up or we don't do it right, he still gets the glory in all of our attempts. But he yet is desiring, he is beckoning unto the body of Christ to make this offering of sincerity. So going to God or having an encounter with God and counting up your errors, I'm not going to say it's not possible, but God is looking for us to cast away the guilt and the errors. And Scripture says if our heart condemns us, God is greater, that we can approach him and pursue this supernatural encounter with a very, very small offering, an offering as we embrace or address the subject of faith. He says, if you have faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to mountains. So having sincerity is like that. It is the sincerity that we put into or we offer up unto God, and then he multiplies it. He takes the little that we have and he builds this awesome relationship with us when we humble ourselves and offer up to him our authentic, genuine sincerity.
And Jesus' message is always come.
Yes.
Come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. His message is always appeal. We're not by design going to accept condemnation. Fallen humanity flees condemnation. And that's why it's very important that as believers in Christ, when we approach the sinner, we open our arms and say, come. For Jesus' message was, come unto me, all you that are burdened and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said, come. But when you preach a message of judgment or you send a message of judgment, we hide. Adam, where are you? I knew I was naked. So what did he do? He says, I hid myself. He already knows he's naked. We are not supposed to point out the nakedness of the sinner when he comes to God. You'll make him flee. You tell him that God loves him so much that he wants to have intimacy with him. That the sins are not an issue. He'll take care of the sin.
Yes, the gospel, the good news is that we are forgiven.
And unfortunately, in many places in the body of Christ, when brothers and sisters have fallen into error, when they've fallen into sin, they're hearing from the pulpit the message of hide. Not that the pastor, the minister, the apostle, prophet, whoever he is designing it to be that. But when you preach condemnation, the natural inclination of a fallen or a being who has been separated from his maker is to hide. Praise the Lord. And that's why Jesus didn't get into categorizing sin when he said, come unto me. Mm-hmm. He didn't say everybody could come but homosexuals.
Yes.
He didn't say everybody could come except for murders. He didn't say everybody could come except for thieves. He said, come unto me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In other words, the message was not loaded with judgment. He knew
that as a master and a savior, you get them in, then you teach them. You teach them out of their sinful behavior. And then you empower them by giving them the Holy Spirit that they may live it.
Amen. Amen. What a word. That beyond expression. Oh my, I have been so enriched as we reviewed all three segments of that, the blessed part, the beyond, and even the expression. I just want to take just a moment and invite any and everyone who is underneath the sound of my voice, who can hear me, to invite them to try Jesus. To place this invitation, as we have been talking about, no condemnation, no guilt, just this and this alone, that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that we may have life, and that more abundantly, that we would have eternal life, that we would have intimate relationship with Jesus. So, if you have not already, I implore you, I invite you, I encourage you, I explicitly, expressly ask you to take a moment and just call unto God. Say, God, I want this. I'm ready for it. Invite him into your life, into your world. If you say, I don't know how to pray, if you have any thought in your mind, there's nobody here to guide me, I'm telling you right now, it is as simple as taking your mind and having a conversation, open your mouth, say it out loud. If you're alone, say, God, I'm ready for this. I want you, Lord. I want Jesus. And thereby, you will have an encounter with God. God will not leave you hanging. He is yet a discerner of the hearts, the minds, the intent of us as people, and you will have made the best decision of your life. You will open a door and start a journey no one could even describe with words. As we talk about blessed beyond expression, this journey will be beyond anything else you've ever experienced. You don't want to miss it. Well, Elder, as we have our closing remarks, did you have anything else you would like to add?
I really enjoyed this message. I could go another hour because it's such a very, very important message to render to the world and even in some cases to the body of Christ, because many brothers and sisters, and this has been my ministry experience over the years in traveling and ministering, many brothers and sisters live under condemnation, and we should not, as believers in Christ, live condemned. If we get out of line in some kind of capacity with God, we should have conviction. But there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And if by chance you walk after the flesh and you find yourself convicted, that's the word, convicted, because there is no condemnation. Get it right and keep moving. The enemy loves for us to languish in a sinful condition. He loves for us to wallow in the mire, so to speak. He loves for us to feel like we need to leave the assembly of God and not come back in the midst of God's people because we have had failures. And many times, unfortunately, brothers and sisters in Christ perpetrate that circumstance by making brothers and sisters feel uncomfortable, unworthy. We're all in this thing together. We are walking by the grace of God and by the mercies of God, and we need one another. So let's encourage one another and realize that we are blessed beyond measure.
Amen, amen. And I totally agree with you, and I would like to piggyback that just a little bit, as the scripture says, well, you can get more things with honey than vinegar. It's incredible, because the way it works in this relationship with God, that we have the ability to reference our failures, our mess up.
Amen.
And we have the ability to repent, which means change.
Yes.
Change is a very big part of our growth.
Yes.
But we do not want to stay there.
Amen.
Because the way it works is there is a growth process and a perpetual upward motion in our relationship with God, focusing on God.
Yes.
And not our failures.
Amen.
Your failures have a unique small part or role in our growth,
yes,
and growing in the grace of God. But we don't want to err and always be consumed with, woe is me, I messed up, I'm unworthy.
Yes.
Because in this sense, we have that correction ability,
yes,
but we are worthy. We are accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
We are approved of God, even with our messed up history.
And you know what else? Unfortunately, there are a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ who don't understand, or it has not become a solid revelation with them, that God wants the best for them. And you know, you would think that that's an easy thing to embrace. But we have to make sure that we promote that message, because God's will is that none should perish. And as believers, we have been accepted into beloved, and he did not bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light that we might perish. He gives us eternal life. And I think that the enemy, what he does is many times with brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a tendency to hide. In other words, when we make mistakes, the enemy gets in our ear and some bad theological ideas from even our brothers and sisters. And so we hide. We tell ourselves, and the enemy's whispering in our ear, and we say, I'm not worthy, so I can't go to church. I can't participate. I can't.
I'm not going to be a hypocrite.
Right. But we must understand that the depth of God's love transcends that.
Yeah.
And he has committed himself to us. We are accepted in the beloved. And we must always believe that. You can always approach God. I know people out there in the pulpit saying things like, oh, you get into a certain place and God, you can't approach God. He don't want to hear from you. And I've heard it all over the years. But Jesus did not die on Calvary for us to have a on and off relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He says, yea, I'm with you always, even to the end. He said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm with you. When you're out there in the sin bins, mm-hmm, he's whispering in your ear. I've talked to too many people who are out there. They had gotten trapped in things out there in the world and over the years, and I've heard them talk about it. They say, you know, I was in the gambling house. I was in the drug house, and the Lord was talking to me, telling me he loved me and come on home. And so he's never going to abandon a believer. And it is an insult to the finished work of Calvary for anyone to suggest to a brother or sister in Christ that the Lord will abandon them, because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
It's interesting when you describe the believer. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he didn't say, if you are without sin.
Yes.
I'll never leave you nor forsake you,
yes,
if you got things right. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that is available to believers.
Yes.
And no matter how messed up you are, you still can fall under that category of a believer.
Yes.
Because when we talk about the sins from A to Z, Jesus had to get the disciples or those that he was talking to straight. He said, if you looked at the woman and it was any element of lust in you, you guilty.
Exactly. And if you and the beauty of that statement is that God is trying to impress upon us the great depth of sin. You see, as humans, we only see sin as the stuff you do. But the Lord wanted to show through that passage how holy and righteous God's righteous standards are
in comparison to,
and to also show the great measure of love,
yeah,
that he has in accepting us because of that finished work. And so the enemy's job is
is to condemn us and to make us feel that we can't approach the Lord.
Yeah, we talked early on about a part of that plot and attack is that we won't know.
Yes.
We won't know who we are, and we won't know all that we have in this blessed gift and salvation.
Well, I feel blessed above measure.
Blessed is a status, right? Blessed
yes, it is.
As...
That's a status. I didn't earn it. God gave it to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's a past tense word,
yes,
blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He gave it all in Calvary.
And the journey is that discovery of all of those things that was just described.
Yes.
Those blessings and heavenly places. It is as I made the comment and the invitation to get to know God, it is a uncompared journey or undescribable journey.
Yes.
It is you understand, I pray that I don't have to make this or decision in life, but you understand why Christians being martyred.
Yes.
How the supernatural experience with God can cause you to say, "I'll give my life for this."
Amen. 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 Because He has promised us some far-reaching and greater than anything we can even comprehend.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And so I'm grateful tonight to be able to enjoy and to share with you in this message.
Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as we close out in these last couple of minutes, I know sometimes we don't take the time. I apologize, but I want to give contact information tonight if you have a need, a question, anything you want to share or ask. You can contact us through email. And that is melvinpeoples@yahoo.com. Melvin with M, I'm going to spell Melvin for you, M-E-L-V-I-N, Peoples, P as in Paul, E as in Edward, P-L-E-S, at Yahoo. And been blessed like Melvin. You can contact me. My first name, last name, @yahoo.com, and that is spelled S-I-B-Y-L, Peoples, again, P-E-E-P-L-E-S. And it has been a blessing to be able to share with you tonight. I encourage you to tune in the first Thursday in March. We're here the first Thursday and the third Thursday in the month, and we look forward to anything you have on your heart, a prayer request, anything you would like to contact us, communicate to us, send it. We'd be happy or more than happy to be able to address your questions on the air. So feel free, contact us, share the invitation to join us each week that we're on, and God bless you. We love you, and know that God has a greater love for you. Good night.